How many of you are going to be teaching algebra this year? I'm assuming that everybody is that's going to be here, or most of you. Maybe some of you are just sitting in here for curiosity's sake. How many of you have taught algebra before? Okay, good. How many of you have taught algebra before, and at the end of the year, you got done wondering, why do my students never enjoy algebra? I've been there several times. It's kind of a unique... It's a subject that I thoroughly enjoy teaching. I enjoyed it in school. I wasn't necessarily the best at it. But it seems like I always had trouble communicating with that with my students and getting them to feel the same way I did about it, as far as enjoying it. Now, this morning I read the explanation on your sheet that you got for your program as to what this class is supposed to be. And I think that was the second time I read it. So hopefully I didn't leave any part out of it. I don't know that I spent a lot of time looking at or coming up with ways of making things stick with your students. That's probably something you'll have to figure out on your own. I probably have some opinions on that, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Now, to start off with, on the handout I gave you, there's five statements at the beginning of the handout. Like I said on what I wrote there, some of them are true, some of them are not. And see if you can identify which ones are true and which one is not. So number one says, the main reason we teach algebra is because you use it in everyday life. True or not true? I do enjoy discussion. I do enjoy help. So you'll have to answer the questions that I ask you. True or not true? True.
Maybe true, but not really. We all teach it.
Okay, that one was actually, that one I found interesting because that's what I've always told my students, but I found out through research that I was actually wrong about that. Teaching algebra is not just, the main reason for teaching algebra is not just because you use it in everyday life. Now, I'm not saying that you don't ever use it in everyday life, you do. You do use it a lot, but there's actually another reason as to why we teach algebra. And that ties us into the second question, or the second statement. The best reason for teaching algebra is the fact that it teaches and stimulates critical thinking. True or false? True. That one is true. And I found that one interesting because critical thinking is something that we would all say is extremely important, right? It's important to be able to look at a situation and recognize how this plays in, recognize how X is related to Y, and recognize how you can solve this through this problem to come up with an answer, whatever the problem may be. I think I just accidentally answered statement number three, but algebra doesn't help you with solving everyday problems. I think I've been mentioning that one's a false one. Number four, algebra is beautiful. True or false? Well, definitely true. Although I tend to think that it's more beautiful to the teacher than the student. It tends to be. However, you probably will reach a point, or have had a point in teaching algebra, where it wasn't beautiful because you were trying to get this one student to think the way they need to think, to set up this equation, to solve the problem. They just will not get what you want them to get unless you just up and tell them. And suddenly it tends to lose its beauty a little bit. Okay, number five. Algebra doesn't have much impact on other classes in school unless you go to college or get into college courses. Now, the reason I put in college courses, I would make a disclaimer there. There are a couple of sciences, branches of science that do use algebra, such as physics, geometry, and so on. But I'm referring to algebra impacting English, grammar, reading, history, and so on. True or false? Okay. What were you going to say?
The concepts themselves may not necessarily affect them too much, but the disciplines learned by learning it may affect it.
Yeah, I think you're both right on that. I did have to think about another subject that develops critical thinking, and probably algebra and this other subject probably run hand in hand. That's literature. Part of literature is looking at a story and being able to critically think through the story and find the lessons that story has for us. And in algebra, you might not look at a story, but you may look at this wonderful thing called a story problem. And you're looking at the lessons, or in this situation, the answer that you can get from that story problem that the answer key wants you to get, and hopefully your teacher wants you to get too. Okay. So, if you were to define algebra, how would you define it? Maybe I should have asked this question to begin with, because maybe your definition of algebra just changed a little bit in those five statements. I don't know. Mine definitely did when I was looking at these five statements. It changed just a little bit. But the way that most dictionaries would tend to say what algebra is it would start off by saying something along the lines of it's a math that uses letters to represent numbers. Is the basic nutshell of algebra. I put in a slightly different definition for myself, but it says here what I wrote down: it's a math where letters represent numbers. You're supposed to put those letters into an equation to come up with an answer. And one thing I have observed in teaching algebra is that when you start off in first grade and you go up through elementary grades, you get into middle school, math is all about numbers, right? There's never any letters that come into play. And so students come into algebra, and suddenly you're telling them, okay, don't say that 20 equals 20. Say x equals 20. Well, what does x mean? Or maybe you have an equation, and you're trying to figure it out, and you end up with x equals this. We'll say x equals 2y plus 3. And you're supposed to put that into another equation, because x equals this. And it can totally throw them for a loop, because they're used to thinking of math as numbers exclusively. And algebra is more about letters than numbers, actually. The letters you use a lot. You use letters a lot to come up with numbers. And so students recognizing that that algebra is about letters, and that the letters can mean different numbers, it can be very helpful. It's something that they need to be able to understand. I say that with a little bit of hesitation, because it can be kind of hard to get them to understand that, but they need to know that. Now, I did find... I thought somebody raised their hand. If you do have any questions, feel free to ask them. Preferably don't interrupt me, because that might derail my train of thought, but you could raise your hand and I'll call on you once it's appropriate. Six reasons for studying algebra. I put five statements about algebra there on your handout, and some of these statements are the same as that, those statements come from it. But first of all, if you have any questions or comments on them, feel free to share. But the first one says here, algebra is faster and better than basic math. How many of you took algebra in school? How many of you faced a situation where when you went from 8th grade to 9th grade, because that's when I switched to algebra, was in 9th grade, we took algebra 1, and I was homeschooled, but how did any of you see a substantial increase in the time you spent working on math when you got to algebra? And here it says that algebra is faster than basic math. What does it mean by algebra is faster than basic math? Whoever wrote that on the internet in an article about algebra, what is he or she trying to say with algebra is faster than basic math?
Are they trying to say that it's more efficient in solving more complex problems?
Probably. Huh? Very true, you can. Yes. According to that was a statement from Abraham Lincoln, from what I understand. Abraham Lincoln said you could find anything you want on the internet. The second part of that statement says it's better than basic math. And Nathan, is that your name? I think you're accurate in saying that it's more efficient. Because I didn't really think about this a whole lot, but a fair amount of the sources that I found used examples of things such as insurance or something like that. They're looking for an insurance plan or a house payment or something like that. And they said that using algebra, being able to put it into an equation and come up with this is how much I'm going to be paying per month for this plan versus this plan, was a lot quicker than using basic math and a lot better. And so I tend to think that what they mean by faster and better is more efficient. Number two here, algebra is necessary to master statistics and calculus. And I would definitely say those are true. I don't know if there's a whole lot of discussion there, but I would just say that algebra is not just simply about learning statistics and learning how to put them into a picture, but also, or into an equation, but also how to, interpret that. If you draw a graph in algebra, and if you've taught algebra, you probably know you do draw a lot of graphs on coordinate planes or something like that. And you've got this line. Well, what does this line mean? If you can interpret what that line means, it can be very, very helpful. Did any of you ever take calculus in school? I started. Didn't finish it. But you use algebra. So that you used lots of algebra. So that statement is definitely true. Number three, algebra may be a job skill later. I think that's true, because I already hinted to the fact that we do use algebra in some things that maybe you don't really think about it right away. When you are faced with a problem, you may not think about the fact that you're using algebra to solve it. But if you have 30 students in your classroom, they all need a pencil, you've only got 26 pencils, how many more do you have to buy? Well, you put it into an equation to figure it out. You go 30 minus 26 equals X. Whatever X is, well, that's 4. And so you use it, and that's very basic algebra, but that is algebra. And if you would perchance go to college to, let's say, some kind of engineering or scientific course, you may use algebra even more. Now, I don't know if any of you will end up there, but it is useful in other jobs. And since algebra is a form of math, any kind of job that deals with numbers is probably going to involve some sort of algebra. But what about this? Algebra can be useful in life outside of the workplace. Maybe I should have put that as one of my five statements of whether you think it's true or not. But algebra can be useful in life outside of the workplace. Don't know if anybody has any comments on that one. I know I do, but because if algebra teaches and stimulates critical thinking is something you do all the time, not just in the workplace. Although, I don't know this for sure, but I suspect that certain ones of my students last year and the year before were very, very glad when they got out of school because they no longer had to face algebra. Number five, algebra reinforces logical thinking. Logical thinking and critical thinking would somewhat be the same. Being able to think logically through a problem. And then, as I already mentioned there, algebra is beautiful. And I don't know about you, but the thing about algebra being beautiful, for me, there is something absolutely beautiful, I'll use that word for lack of a better one, of having this story problem, these letters that make words, and you're supposed to look at those words and come up with an equation that you know how to solve. And you work through this whole process, and you get done, and I've got an answer! Whether it's right or not, I guess that remains to be seen. But I got the answer! It's beautiful, it's great. And I love to watch a student learn how to do that themselves. And maybe it may take, I'll use an example, use one of my students that I had last year. When we first started the year off in algebra, he got frustrated very quickly. Because he was a student that was, I'm going to say, used to getting good grades in almost everything. And the year before, when they were doing 8th grade math, I think is what it was. No, they were doing a business math. He was in ninth grade. They were doing a business math. Now, I've never done business math in school, but it's my impression from what I've heard that it's definitely easier than algebra. And he had a row of 1600s in a row at one point throughout the year, and he was proud of that. Well, we came into algebra, and his average for the first quarter in algebra was an 86 or an 87. And his parents told me that he was incredibly frustrated with that. But it was interesting, and that kind of helped me understand a little bit about, you know, some of his attitudes as it relates to that. But it was interesting for me to watch his progression. At the end of the year, his fourth quarter average in algebra was up to a 93. He was the kind of student that he might not understand exactly how to get the equation, but you help him, he learned as the year went on. By the end of the year, I wasn't helping him very much in those story problems. He had pretty much learned on his own how to come up with a equation to solve. And I love to see that. It was beautiful to see. All right. Okay, so now let's see if I can make some sense here out of my notes. A couple other things about algebra being foundational for other classes. You apply what you learn in algebra throughout other school subjects. Critical thinking, problem solving, logic, patterns, and reasoning. You need to know, or the algebra helps with all of those. And when I looked at that list, I found that, you know, I looked at that and I said, you know, there's a lot of school subjects that use that same concept of problem solving. I mean, all school subjects have problems you're supposed to solve, right? Or come up with an answer. Logic, patterns, and reasoning. And I think the reasoning and logic and problem solving and critical thinking are incredibly important for students, because we want students coming out of school who can take the problems that life's going to throw at them and be able to logically think through them. And you don't have to go into college or farther to use algebra. So here's one definition that one person wrote about algebra. Algebra is about finding the unknown or putting real-life variables into equations and then solving them. Unfortunately, many textbooks go straight to the rules, procedures, and formulas, forgetting that these are real-life problems being solved, and skipping the explanation of algebra at its core, using symbols to represent variables and missing factors in equations and manipulating them in such a way to arrive at a solution. You know, one reason that I like algebra is just simply because it's kind of fun to write random letters on a page and come up with a number. But I think what this guy is saying here, or lady, I don't remember who wrote this, is that if the students don't see algebra as a way of helping them to face problems in life and arriving at a solution, it's really going to be meaningless to them. If they just see it as a bunch of letters that you're putting together to come up with numbers, it's not really going to hold a whole lot of value. It would kind of be like, I don't know if I can come up with an example on the fly. Let's say, okay, here's a good example. That it could be kind of like taking a person and you give them my explanation's backfiring, so maybe I better stop before I say something I don't really want to say. But basically, giving a student a tool and not explaining how to use it. We'll say a hatchet. You give a child a hatchet and don't explain that it might cut their finger off if they don't use it correctly. You know, algebra is not going to cut your finger off, but if you don't know how to use it correctly, you may end up just as out of place as that missing finger. Okay. I did find it interesting. I was reading one article. I didn't agree with this person's perspective. But he was writing about algebra, and he said his feeling was that algebra should be dropped from our schools. And here was his reasoning why. Algebra makes students work too hard. And it tends to make them fail. And then they don't know how to deal with their failure. And so we should just drop algebra because then the students won't be failing. No, that's not true. the thing of helping a student deal with failure is a totally separate, does not involve algebra at all. We fail in everything throughout, no matter, I mean, in different areas. It's not just algebra that we as people can fail in. And so taking away algebra is not going to fix the failure problem. Teaching a student, and I would say this is probably something important about algebra, is that a student needs to understand that there may be a concept in algebra they may not get right away, whereas their classmates might. They may have to go through some failures before they actually learn how to do something. And so teaching them to see their failure not as a representation of who they are or as their value, but by seeing their failure as a way to grow and learn, it can be very helpful. Just like that student I had last year. Now, he wasn't failing in the first quarter, but he used that, at least I think he did, used that as motivation to work. And I still remember the morning that we were checking up at the table. We got done checking, and I called out how many they got wrong, and he said he got zero wrong. It was a huge smile on his face because he made it. And he was so proud about that. And that was his first one through the year, but he worked hard to get there. How did I get on that bunny trail? That wasn't even in my notes. All right, so why algebra matters. Here's a couple of things about why algebra matters. I've touched on a couple of things already, but I'm going to read a paragraph here. It says, even if you don't think you'll need algebra outside of the hallowed halls of your average high school, well, I love that description, managing budgets, paying bills, and even determining health care costs and planning for future investments will require a basic understanding of algebra. So that was where I got my comment about, or one of the places where I got my comment about using algebra to figure out the best plan for whatever it might be. Along with developing critical thinking, specifically logic, patterns, problem-solving, deductive and inductive reasoning, understanding the core concepts of algebra can help individuals better handle complex problems involving numbers, especially as they enter the workplace where real-life scenarios of unknown variables relate to expenses and profit require employees to use algebraic equations to determine the missing factors. Now, a couple of things, practical things, that I have learned from experience throughout. See, I've taught algebra 2 years, and then 2 other years I taught a pre-algebra course. So I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I have had some experience with teaching them, and I have made some observations. So first of all, be excited about algebra. Your students will get excited better if you are. Now notice I put in the word better. Because some students don't, no matter how much you try. I've tried, and you can be as positive about it as you want, but they just don't get excited about it. Some do. Secondly, know what you are teaching as best as you can. And what I mean by that is, a student, and I have faced this situation before, and I had to smile when Howard said this morning about the teacher, about preparation, and that Lazzini's, or whatever he called it. One thing that I ran into, I think it was the third year I taught, was the fact that, so in school I did pre-algebra, algebra 1, algebra 2, advanced math, and then part of calculus. So when I went to teach algebra, I assumed that I don't really have to study for these classes that much because I did it in school. So I'm going to wing them. And so I did, and it worked for the most part, I think. But there were a couple of times where I ran into a problem where I didn't read through the lesson ahead of time like I should have, and as a result, I missed something extremely important that I should have made sure the students knew or pointed out to them. So that's what I mean by know what you are teaching as best as you can. Sometimes you may run into a concept where you aren't exactly sure how to teach it. And I had that as well. But if the fact that you don't know how to teach it is because you didn't study as much as you should have, well then, the fault's on you. If the reason for you not being able to teach it as best you can is because it's a difficult concept, that's different. And sometimes you and your students have to learn together. But I will say that in teaching algebra over the years I did, it was really, really, really humiliating when I ran into a problem that I could not explain to my students. It happened twice that I remember, where I, even looking at the answer key and their answer, I could not figure out how they arrived at their answer. And that was extremely humiliating because I'm supposed to know this stuff. And so that, I think with that one, I ended up just telling them, well, I don't know how they got the answer, just skip those problems. Which I didn't like to do that very much because algebra you can figure out if you spend enough time. But preparing ahead of time can definitely help with that. Tell your students, that's a misprint there, tell you students, I mean your students, that they're learning algebra to help them in other classes in school and stimulate and learn critical thinking. And I will guarantee you that if you tell them that, their first reaction will be, well, what other classes do we use algebra in? So you better be prepared to have a reason, explanation as to why you may use algebra in literature, English, etc. And also, your students may not know what critical thinking is. And I don't know if this is a universal problem across all schools. It sounds like, from Howard's discussion, that maybe it isn't a universal problem. But nowadays, at least in the students I've taught, it seems like students have a hard time thinking through problems, whatever those problems may be. And that makes me wonder, are they learning what critical thinking is? Do they know what critical thinking is? They can't think through a problem and figure out, you know, whatever it might be. And that's another reason why I say that algebra and literature probably go hand in hand. Because I don't know if any of you have ever taken CLE's Perspectives of Life in Literature or Perspectives of Truth in Literature and answered those questions in the book called Meditating for Meaning. How many of you like those? I learned to like them after I started teaching. Because those problems where they ask you a question and it's not just a one-word answer. You have to dig, you have to find, you have to think. That's part of critical thinking. It's the same way in algebra. When they give you a story problem, the answer is not just right there in black and white. You have to dig, you have to search, you have to work to come up with that answer. And that would be maybe one reason, one way that I would attempt to explain to my students. But if they don't like literature either, they probably won't accept that explanation all that much. Now, before we look at that secret back part of your page, I'm going to give you a little opportunity. Maybe some of you have had situations or have found ways of teaching algebra that have been helpful to you, and you might like to share it to potentially help somebody else. Because like I said, I don't have all the answers, and I will be right up front with you. Or maybe just a question or comment on something I said.
I found it helpful to build problems that they would use in everyday life.
Okay.
Some were farmers and some were carpenters. Build problems that actually use, take some work to get a complex problem. It's helpful.
Yes, that's a very good example of that. But you do have to be careful with making your own problems. You have to make sure there's actually an answer to come up with. I remember one time I was teaching this algebraic concept to them, and I had this brilliant plan in mind. I had five students in algebra class that year. I put five problems up on the board, and I told them how you work these things out. I said, okay, now all five of you go up there and work it out. And I told them that all these problems should come up to a whole number. They didn't. I made a couple mistakes. And my students were left scratching their heads when some of them were coming up with decimals and repeating fractions, or repeating decimals and fractions. Yeah, it was a little bit. Make sure you prepare ahead of time. Because that was kind of a on the whim, we'll do this up on the board because it'll make it interesting. It was interesting.
This doesn't help someone teaching algebra the first time, but something that's really helped me in algebra and other classes is making notes immediately after a lesson if there's a concept that the students found especially difficult, so the next year I can prepare for that a little bit more.
Very good point. I remember doing that the second year I taught. And that would go for any math course, not just algebra, or even any school course. If you know that there's a problem, or that you had a problem with teaching that last year, make a note of it, mental note or in the book, so that you know when you come around to that again next year, that you better either find a different way of explaining it, or if you don't understand yourself fully, spend the time that you need to learn it yourself. I also did figure out in teaching algebra that just because I know the concept does not mean I can actually make it go from here through here in a coherent way. Very good. Any other comments? I taught 1 year CLE and 2nd year Abeka. Huh?
You chose a change?
No, I didn't choose a change. It was two different schools. And then the other school that I taught at, which was just the pre-algebra, was Saxon.
How did you feel about CLE Algebra 1?
Not enough story problems. That's how I feel about it. I do know that, well, I don't know if I have a lot of experience in our ways of answering. My dad could actually do this more because he's more been involved in CLE. He's taught for a number of years more than I have. But one thing that I really, really liked about Saxon, and I think CLE is working or has worked significantly on doing this, is the amount of review that you have in one lesson. In Saxon math, you learned a concept and you had maybe, well, depending on some of, you know, if it was an easier concept, you might have more. But if it was a hard concept, you had maybe 3 or 4 problems that lesson on that concept. The rest of the 26 problems was all review of stuff you learned in the past, which meant that you didn't have to learn a new concept every day. You had about 2 weeks to learn that concept before you would actually be tested on it. And I liked that because the fact that some students just don't get the concepts in algebra as quickly as others do. I had one boy last year who, he got the concept first time I explained it, no problems. Now, some of his work ethics were a little bit of the, were more of the problem than actual fact that he didn't understand it or did understand it. And whereas I had a student last year who, it took a long time for her to get the concepts. She did eventually get them, I think. But it took her a long time. I don't know, did I answer your question?
I was just wondering about any help for bringing in any, for someone who's going to, I think he's going to struggle in algebra. Mm-hmm. And I think I might too.
Yeah.
Sources to draw from. If the book isn't enough. Anyway.
I never used any outside sources when it came to algebra myself. So I don't know if I have any answers to that. As far as that goes.
So you talk about, would you say you prefer one over the other?
Of the ones I taught?
Of between CLE and Abeka.
If I were to say which one I would prefer, I probably would prefer CLE over Abeka. And the reason I would say that is because CLE is is patterned more towards Saxon. I did Saxon in school for eight years of Saxon. And CLE is patterned more towards that. The one thing I have about Abeka that I don't like is the fact that you learn a new concept and then 75 to 80% of the lesson is on that new concept and you have a short review section at the end. By the time the students get done with that 80%, they are just fed up with this new concept. And sometimes the teacher is too.
I would reaffirm what he's saying about know your stuff. You know it well. If you don't know it, you won't teach it. If you got a student that's going to struggle and you don't know it, you may not even start. It's not going to work. I don't know what year it was that I taught. I had students that wanted Algebra 2, and I had never done Algebra 2 in school. I didn't know it. So I gritted my teeth, and I did that whole Saxon Algebra 2 book that year. I just kept about 3 lessons ahead of them. I did every problem,
And so when they came to it, I knew the problem. It was a tremendous amount of work. That was the only way I could deal with that problem. It's either that or you just do it yourself. And if you can't figure it out, well, you go find Tom on the street corner to help you. Because I'm
sure.
Did not do it. Now, I didn't go past, you know, my boys did more than that. And when they got past algebra 2, then they went to the street corner for help.
Our street corner was something called a solutions manual.
No, that's extremely important that you know it. And you know the concept well, and you can teach it without constantly looking at your books and, oh, what is this?
I do just have one student that have other work too besides that. I figured that'd be the subject we'd work through together. Mm-hmm. And
you'll find it enjoyable, actually.
I love math.
Just because you integrate a lot more. But yeah, be flexible. Don't just say it's going to be this way that you're going to teach it, because you're going to have students in your classroom that are going to learn this way, and then that one's going to try to, you're going to use it. That method works, so use it for students 4, 5, and 6, and you're like, what are you talking about? So you have to adjust. When I had a student in this school, she was in 7th grade, and simple algebra, I explained that to her a million times, and that's no exaggeration. Just a simple step-by-step, what you do on the left side, you do on the right side. You know, when you add, when you all of these things, and she came up to my desk, and she said, I don't know. So we go over again. It's just, to this day, I don't know if she ever learned. But she got through the lesson. In that girl's mind to get past that. She wasn't dumb, she just couldn't get past some of those things. So anyway, what else I'm telling you is good, just build on that.
You know, and the different curriculums have their different way of teaching the, you know, the various concepts. One example I could give of that was the thing about what you do on one side, you do on the other side of the equation. I found one curriculum taught it very interestingly. They actually used a mental picture of a scales. You have the scales. You've got this side, and they're equal. The scale, it's an old, well, it's one of those old-fashioned scales. You know, the ones that hangs in the center and goes back and forth like this. And they're the same height. Well, when you subtract this, if you don't do it here, well, then this side goes down, this one goes up. And my students and I spent quite a long time on that lesson. I think that one was like an hour and a half to 2 hour lesson on that particular concept, but they got it. Whereas the 1 year where I didn't have that visual picture, I just simply told them, they had a little harder trouble picking it up. So if you can find some way of a visual way to show what you're teaching, then you know, look for something like that, because a students will learn better if they can see what they're learning. if they can understand. I mean, everybody knows how a scale works, at least I think. Maybe they don't know how those old-fashioned scales work, but everybody can understand that if this side's lower, it's heavier than this side, and so on. What time is this workshop over at? It is 11, right? Where it ends? Okay, good. I thought it was quarter till, and I was getting worried because we were 4 minutes overtime. I didn't hear a bell. All right. Anything else?
I don't know how you all view online officer videos, but Khan Academy has some very helpful videos to watch about any subject.
Speaking of which, that's a good point. I do think. I do, and I don't know if all curriculums do this, but if you're having trouble with learning a specific concept, I know Faxon has this, and I know Abeka has this, but some algebra curriculums will send a CD along with a video of an instructor teaching it so that you can watch that to help teach your students. And I remember the first year I taught, The teacher whose place I took, he moved up to 9th and 10th grade. And he was teaching algebra. He never took it. He stopped in 8th grade. It was when he stopped school. And so every morning, and probably even more than that, If I would go upstairs into his room, he was watching that video for what he was teaching that day on that CD. It was, and I think it was a big help for him. That would be one potential help you could find. Especially if you're having trouble with knowing how to explain it to the student, you can listen to that and get an idea of how they explained it and maybe help you to a certain extent.
And I think that's valuable, but just be aware of the fact that that is not as good as you telling them how to do it. Because if it's a computer you're interacting, I'm 49, so I'm arguing from that perspective, but if it's a computer they're interacting with, it is not nearly as good as a human being. And so, you know, if you got to take them to wherever, and I'm not knocking this website, I'm sure it's good, but to a computer program and say, look, watch this so you can figure it out, because you can't quite get it through. Well, it's better than nothing, but it's the best that you can get it through, because you're a person, and they make you much better than the screen.
And yeah, and I should have said that's the CD that they send along, that's for the teacher, not the student. At least from what I've observed. All right, so we're gonna finish with a couple of paragraphs that you're gonna find on the back of your paper that I gave you, and I found these paragraphs very, very unique. This perspective, and I think that you could actually apply some spiritual aspects to this as well. I'm going to read these paragraphs here. You can follow along. However, and it starts out with however, because it's tacked on to the end of an article that I found. However, math, when taught right, is a great tool to model the world around us. Math is a tool to develop problem-solving skills and logical/critical thinking. And that's the key to succeed in life, being able to understand the scheme of things. Now, I do think this was written by a secular person. What comes before what, how to deduce information from the data presented, how to conclude, reason, and support your decision and understanding based on the evidence you see, and how to adjust your point of view if the reality doesn't support your gut feeling. The truth is the world around us is complicated and is getting more and more complex with every minute passed. In today's reality of alternative facts, which tools we can provide our students that can help them navigate in this ocean of constant nonsense mumble around us? Math, and especially algebra, can be one of those tools. We can use it to reach conclusions such as, if a piece of information is unknown, a variable in an equation, how can we find it? What do we need to do in order to fill the gaps in our knowledge? And then, what if we miss more than one piece of information, such as two variable equations? How do we model the emotional roller coaster the media is pushing into our living rooms all the time? How can we rationalize the constant flow of bad news? Is it really worse than before? Statistics and data gathering, you know. Is this graph, if you draw a bar graph, let's say, of the number of casualties from car accidents, is it really getting worse? You know, the average temperature around the world, are we really experiencing global warming? Is it getting different? Is it what people say? Is it actually true? Do we even understand the period of that cycle, sine and cosine? And do we have real tools to deal with the pseudoscience marketers are throwing at us all the time, such as, this is the best deal, you know, lowest prices? Is that true? That's understanding sample size and randomness importance in surveys. You see, math is a tool to model the world around us. It should not be taught just for the sake of math or just to pass the test. We are giving our students a super valuable and powerful tool for life, the ability to critically think about our environment and to make informed decisions. When taught like that, there's no reason students will lag behind. All we need to do is to teach it as a means to an end, not for the sake of math itself. I found that very, very interesting, because I think that's very, very true. As far as there is things in algebra that you learn in algebra that you can apply to everyday life situations. I don't know if your students ever didn't like drawing graphs or not, but it's not that hard to tell them that this graph. You could use this in real life, and I'll throw back at you, well, I wouldn't draw a graph, I'd just look at it and figure it out. Well, yeah, maybe, but sometimes a graph helps, a visual picture does help. There are things in algebra that fit with everyday life situations. So any comments on those last paragraphs or anything else that you may have? We've got about 5 minutes left before the end of class. Any other questions for me that I can try to answer?
Did you have multi-grade class drills, and how would you, when was the best time to fit in algebra class?
Yes, I did. All the years I taught, I had multi-grade classrooms. Generally, what I did was I would teach, split up my math period half and half, because normally it was just two grades I was teaching. I'd split it up half and half and spend half the time on algebra and then half the time on the other math. If I needed more time in algebra and ran out during math class, I would try and find some time later in the day to do it. However, there were some times where that doesn't really work very well. And if you do it this way, then you kind of will run into a crunch with your other lessons. But if you are trying to learn something in the morning and they just don't quite get it, so you say, okay, we'll come back and do it in the afternoon, it won't work. You're probably better off if the students aren't understanding the concept, to skip English for the day, as it were, and get that concept, rather than saying, well, we'll go on to English now, and then we'll figure out this afternoon during study hall or something like that. We'll look at the math again. It won't work. Maybe I shouldn't say it. It won't work as well. You might be able to get it to work on occasion, but that's not really a good thing to do, in my opinion. But that's just my opinion.
So if you have several classes in one, in a single period, what do the students who are waiting on class would you have them?
What I would generally tell the students were, it depended as to what school I was teaching at. The one school, checking the lesson from the day before, I would give them I would print out a piece of paper with the answers on it and give it to them at their desk and say, check over your lesson while I'm having class with the other students. And then if they got done with that, I told them there are several things you can do. You can either read your math lesson before we actually have class on it, or go on to another subject. And they were pretty good at doing one of those two things, especially if it took a long time. And in preparing ahead of time, if I knew one lesson was going to take substantially longer than the other, I would get the short one out of the way first and then do the long one last, because then I knew I'd have more time and I wouldn't have to cut it short to get the other class in. And that way, if I ran out of time, the next thing was recess, or we could all go air out our brains and come in and try again then after recess.
You talk about Rebecca, where it didn't have a lot of review. Did you do something to try to remedy that? Do a lot of you do in class?
No, I didn't. Probably the biggest thing I did to try and remedy that problem was not always give them all the new problems to do. Because some of them take a lot of time, and learning the new concept, if you've got 19 story problems to do, and then 4 more in the review, and then 6 other problems in the review that you learned over the last little while, it didn't really work very well. So you kind of would, or I would tend to look for a way to make sure they still get the concept, but don't overwork them and get to, because over I found out that overworking them with certain problems can cause a serious defect in their attitude. All right, that was the final bell. So thank you for your help, and you are dismissed.